Hey again, I'm Bill DeYoung, and guess what? It's Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My guests today are Oriya. We are talking to Ona Kay and to Alejandra Areñas. Hello, my friends.
Hello.
So good to see you again. It's been a while.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for having us again.
Well, you guys have a gig Saturday. It's at 6:20, studio at 6:20, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start there and say that what time is it? 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah, the theme is Orilla con Alma, which translated, it means with soul.
With soul, okay.
Yeah, and because we're going to be focusing on boleros and other Spanish songs. So we're going to be doing all Spanish material, Hispanic material, you know, some
Thank
stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, some stuff from Spain, some stuff from Latin America. Maybe a couple of original stuff that we've collaborated on.
We've talked so much generally about the records that you've made and the recordings because you guys are really active in the studio. But for those of the folks listening who don't know, tell me about Oriya. And it's just bass and vocal.
That's correct.
Okay, this your live shows, which says to me, and I was watching some clips earlier, experimental music. You know, and it's not experimental music, but it's like you don't sort of think, hey, a bass and a singer. What's that all about? It sounds very John Cage, Yoko Ono kind of thing, but that's not exactly what it is. Can you explain, Ona, what Oriya does?
Oriya does music. We love music, and just want to make music. And I know that this sounds like very vague. It's funny that you say experimental. We have experimented a lot, but experimental doesn't necessarily need to be complicated or unapproachable music. We just love music and we want to create beautiful, organic, soulful music. That's what we do.
It's not the sort of thing you hear on the radio. You know what I mean? There's parts jazz in it and there's parts what many people would call world music because they don't understand that we're all part of the same world. You know, but a lot of this is, you speak what, 4 languages, 7 languages, 12?
I properly speak Spanish, Catalan, and English, some French, some Portuguese.
Okay, so a lot of what you do is in Spanish.
Yes.
Is it you're from Catalan, is that a different kind of, look at me, I'm showing my ignorance here, but this is the people from Cuba, for example, would be able to understand what you're saying.
Absolutely not. Yeah, it's not a completely
in Catalan,
different language.
No. I can't understand when she sings in Catalan. I went to Spain years ago. And
you
I
understand the English part, though, don't
the
you?
The English part, yes, I do. I do. And that's a completely different.
Yeah, it's a language. It's not a dialect. It's a completely different language with another history line. Like it's inside of the, it belongs to the country of Spain, but to the region of Catalonia, which Barcelona is the capital.
Mm-hmm.
And we are bilingual. We speak two completely different languages. Both come from Latin, but they are, it's like, I don't know, say in Spanish and French, they are different languages, right? So,
well, you some of the music that you've made is in English too, but I wanted to focus specifically on the foreign language stuff. We have to say that here in America.
Okay.
And the stuff that you sing in Catalan or in Spanish or in Portuguese, which to me is just an amazing, romantic, beautiful language.
Yeah.
Why do you do that? Is that a matter of I can express myself better in this? The syntax is cooler, you know?
Every language has a different sound and different nuances. And also every language, I feel that it contains the whole culture itself on the way that it builds sentences. It is not the same. Like when we build a sentence in English, English is a very practical language. And it's a beautiful language, but it's a language where you can say a lot with very few words.
Mm-hmm.
Romance languages, all languages that come from Latin, are way more complex languages in the sense that we use way too many words. But at the same time, we are able to express a lot of nuances in the words that we use. Also, just the sound of it, the placement of it, it's just different. The voice is placed different in literally in my face. And also, like, all of those languages are part of who I am, of my history, my culture.
Have you ever written a song in English and said, no, this would sound better in Spanish?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, I have. And the other way around, too. Uh-huh. Definitely. Yes.
Wow, wow. How did you get involved in music? I'm getting to you in a minute here, my friend. So, I can't remember. Tell me the whole story again, when you came to the States and why and how we got to where we are today.
So do you want me to tell you how did I get involved in music or how did I get to the States?
Let's do them both. Let's do it all.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, music is my it's the love of my life. Sorry, I hope my husband doesn't get offended with this. I love him so much. And music has been like my I don't know how to explain it. Passion feels small.
Wow.
My life since I have memories, like I remember being six and begging my parents to take me to a place to sing. So I have been singing in choirs and having piano lessons and having voice lessons, and I have never stopped. I stopped having faith in my music career for some time, mm-hmm. and I became a flight attendant and I did a lot of sorts of stuff, but I can never completely abandon music. And at some point I abandoned normal life to be a full-time musician in 2012.
Well, you don't have any choice at some point. I imagine that's what it's like. I have to do this.
I don't have a choice. That's exactly how I feel.
Right. Yes. When did you come to the States?
I came to the States in 2017.
Did you speak English? Was that one of your your hat box of languages at that point?
I did and I didn't at the same time. I thought I did because I had used it in the past, but then when I came here and I entered a CVS, they say, have a good day. And I asked, what? Like five times. I realized I didn't actually spoke American.
American,
yes.
There it is. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I could say I spoke English, but I didn't speak American. Yeah.
Well, here we are today, and at some point you met these cats called La Lucha, which is my friend Alejandro and the great Mark Feynman playing drums and the equally great John O'Leary playing piano, and fell in with them. But I want to go back a little bit, Alejandro, if I may, and talk about La Lucha. Let's just get this on the record, how all that happened.
Well, you know, we all met in college.
Yeah.
So we all come from different parts of the world. You know, I'm from Colombia originally. Mm-hmm. John is from Mexico. Even he has the traditional Mexican name of John Clarence O'Leary the III, Mexican Irish. And
I always wondered about that.
Yeah. And Mark Feynman, you know, is from Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah.
The exotic one.
The most exotic one of the trio. Yeah.
So we all, Mark actually went to high school with my wife. And I met him briefly before I went to college, and we just had a really good musical and personal rapport. And then we wanted to play, and then we found John kind of like walking around the hallway on USF, super friendly guy, very inspired to play music. And somehow we ended up playing in a combo together, and we just hit it right off.
Wait a minute. John's walking. He's a nice guy. Hey, do you happen to play piano? Brilliantly, as a matter of fact.
I'm
also a genius.
You know, the thing about it is that he was actually a tuba major when we met him.
Didn't know this.
Yes.
I'm going to hold that against him.
Yes. Piano was his first instrument, but it's the same thing that happens to bass players to a certain extent where you show up to a band. They're like, nobody wants to play the bass instrument. Mm. So you're required to play this instrument.
Is that what happened to you?
Pretty much.
What were you, a guitar player? Or were you a tuba player?
Yes, a guitar player.
You were a guitar
actually
player.
My very first instrument was organ. That's kind of how we met. We just kind of came together for this passion of music.
You were studying music.
Yes.
Where was this?
At USF.
At USF, of course.
Yeah, University of South Florida.
Yeah.
And we just kind of got in a room and really played well together, and then all of a sudden, we started getting offered gigs, and we would take literally any gig that was offered.
What's it like? I'd like to try and explain to people who listen to this for musicians to be in a room and realize that you are there with people who share another language with you. Hey, this is good. You know, I mean, I've been in a few bands where there's no chemistry at all, you know, crummy rock and roll bands. And the opposite is true. But what's that like for you, especially with the kind of complex stuff that you guys do, to suddenly say, hey, we're talking the same language here, and that's what music is.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, that it was very much what happened with Ona and Orilla. Mm-hmm. You know, we played together, and I think from the first note, we're like, there's something here, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of to bring it back to that, to the idea of the duo, it's precisely that there's all this space, right? There's only bass and vocals, and there's nothing more, at least, that fulfills me more musically than being able to stand or sit next to somebody that gets what you're doing musically.
Yeah.
And that also will have your back when you are, you know, that you both decide, we're turning left here, right?
Right.
We were supposed to do right, but we're going to turn left. Or we're both cool with
and
that.
They go with
and
you.
It happens in half a second.
Yes, like, it's like a millisecond. Yeah. It's kind of like, is this decision?
You don't want to let go of that.
No.
It's like it's somehow. Let's keep working on this because that's cool. Can Absolutely. I ask you to get a little closer to the
Absolutely,
microphone?
Yes.
I'm just watching the levels here.
And, yes.
You know, that's what they pay me to do.
There you go.
Talk to me about how you guys got together. I don't know, and I'm sure I asked you this once before. Was there a precedent? Was there another bass and vocal duo that you could say, yeah, I love what you talked about, moving in and out of the empty space, mm-hmm. you know, but was there a precedent? Was there someone else who did this?
Yeah,
we started during the pandemic. Oh, sorry, I'm knocking into things here. Yes, during the pandemic, we started exchanging a lot of music, you know, online. We were just sending each other like videos. Like I said, I was very much, my original plan was to go study in Spain. I went to Spain when I was in ninth grade mm-hmm. and I fell in love with the place and I really wanted to go there and I loved the music. And, you know, so I was always kind of in tune with some of the stuff. And Ona and I started just exchanging all this music, and we found that we had a lot of music in common that mm-hmm. we knew. And in particular, there's a singer, Silvia Perez Cruz, mm-hmm. and a bassist, Javier Colina. Mm-hmm. And they had a project together. It's not just bass and vocal. There's some stuff that's bass and vocals, but there's other stuff that's with a...
Mm-hmm, with a group, but they are leading.
They're leading,
clearly
it,
leading
yes.
both of them.
Mm-hmm. And that I think that was the moment. I think when we yeah. shared those things, that was the moment that kind of cemented the idea of like we need to do something together.
And even if you can't, I use this term loosely, make a living at it because we all do lots of other things. You want to hang on to it because this is special, and we know we're doing something good here. Mm. That's an important turning point, I think.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's the challenge of like, will this work, right? Will this sell?
Well, so yeah. Well, if it works for you, that's the first hurdle. Mm-hmm.
No, but sure. but there is something, you know. I think there is something very. You kind of touch into something here because this is not something you find everywhere. Like I've been a professional musician for 20 years. I've played mm-hmm. with a lot of different people, and what I can do and what I feel when I play with Ona is unique.
Yeah.
It's entirely unique, and it's not and it's yes, it's like you say, you want to hold on to it because it's not easy to come by. It's really serendipity, if you want to put it that way, or you know, especially seeing how, you know, we were in opposite parts of the world mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you find each other, right? It's so those moments and those musical moments and the friendship and all that comes with it is something that's you don't wanna. I mean, it is all part of what you create. I mean, to kind of piggyback on what Ona was saying about music being a part that she can't escape. For me, it's the same thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's part of who I am. It's part of my identity. It's what for me it was kind of when I picked up an instrument and created music. It was like, oh, this is
clarity.
Yeah, this is my place.
That's what I was talking about when you find mm-hmm. that person. But you said something a minute ago about, yeah, it could be a, you know, will it sell? You know, what you guys do might well be a hard sell to people. I mean, do you find that you have to really explain it, or are there enough people now in the community who say, oh, it's them again, let's go see them again?
The question is, why wouldn't it be, why is it a hard thing to sell?
Oh, because it's not on the TV and it's not on the radio. You know, and
but, yeah,
people are going to go, oh my God, it's in a foreign language. I can't understand that.
Yeah, or people think, oh, it has jazz, it's complex. Uh-huh. It's
too much for me.
But I don't think that's true. Mm-hmm. I think that we often underestimate people, mm-hmm. and we don't want to underestimate anybody. I feel like the fact that what's on TV generally is easier to digest, there's a lot of fast food out there, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What we do is not fast food. We are not better or worse than anybody, but we can say that we play authentic, soulful music. That we can say, right? And we are not underestimating people, and we believe that we can do it.
So yeah, you do make records. And I was thinking about Daring Flowers, the album that you guys made, because there's other instrumentation on it. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons I thought it was so cool, is that you augmented the live bass and vocal thing with other sounds, you mm-hmm. know, LaRue's guitar or whatever it was.
That was actually, on that, it was all just the two of us.
Really?
Yeah, Ona, you know, she didn't say this earlier, but, you know, she plays multiple instruments. She plays piano, she plays a lot of percussion, she plays some guitar as well.
Learning something new here. But I thought you had guests on the record.
No, that was all us. I play guitar on the record. She played keyboards and some stuff.
And I love the overdub vocals. And what's so cool to me, here I am fawning, about what you do is that there's clearly no rules. If I want to go here, I'm going to see how it sounds. And if it sounds cool, I'm going to do it. And I respect that. Whole lot, you know. You had a solo record last year, and I haven't spoken with you in a while. But then you went out and you did these shows with a big soul band. You were, speaking of Konalma, you were talking about, you know, I'm moving into sort of a soul jazz kind of thing. Mm. What and now we're back with Oriya. I mean, talk to me about musical evolution. I guess, is that where you were then? Is that still happening?
I think these are two different parts of my musical persona that are perfectly compatible. In different projects, I express different things that I want to express. One, Oriya is a very important project for me. And then I also have my project where I needed to not only sing, but to write for a string quartet, for string quartet and rhythm section. I'm feeling more and more that I need to move away from jazz. I love jazz. I am always gonna love jazz. I feel that if I am being authentic, I need to move away from it and focus more on singing songs and just making whole songs and whole stories in itself, that just focusing on, oh, let's play the song, let's do the solo, let's play the song.
First thing I ever heard of yours was that version of Blackbird. Mm. You did all with the little video with all the little acapella, on my faces. Yeah. And that was beautiful. It was like,
Thank you.
Who is this person? You know, me. And well, you don't need to follow trends or anything. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you never became the sort of jazz chanteuse who goes down and does the Great American Songbook. That's another reason I always respected what you do.
Thank you.
Is that, see, I'm fawning again, guys. because that would have been easy. Mm. You know, that would have been easy. You've got the chops. You could go out and make a few bucks. You probably enjoy it, but not nearly as much as what you do, what you actually do.
And I'll chime in on this because me being jazz musician of sorts. When we started with Ona, she inspired me pretty very much to follow that same kind of like, what is the music that I wanna, I wanna say as an individual musician? Because, you know, a lot of the time, what happens is exactly that. You can fall into a formula, and it's easy to adapt to that. It's easy once you start getting gigs, it's easy to just adapt and follow that. But there's a lot more that we need to say. And, you know, that's why Ona did her solo record, because there's a lot of stuff that she wanted to say on her own, mm-hmm. whereas Oriya is a much more collaborative thing, something that we want to say together, or music that really inspires us. But I wanted to make sure to give her the credit of, you know, inspiring me in particular to really open up to not being said like, I'm just going to play this music and that's it. And,
I'm a jazz player.
I'm a jazz Thank player. You. It's like, I'm a musician, you know.
Look at that. It's all Ona all the time here
Thank
today.
Thank you. No.
Yep.
Have you ever thought about collaborating with Daniela Soledad, who's the great bossa nova singer in town? I think it might be an interesting collaboration sometime. Hmm. You know, and Nate Najjar, who's your partner, who's this great, great guitarist.
They are great. I feel like they have their thing. It's very specific to them.
One never knows.
One never knows.
In the spirit of experimentation and collaboration.
Yeah.
Con Alma is the show that you guys are doing Saturday, 7 o'clock at the Studio 620. You can get tickets at the studio at 620.org. Got to spell that one out. It's boleros and other Spanish songs performed in their trademark expressive and soulful style. Well said. Palpable chemistry. Yeah, well said. I'm reading the website if you couldn't tell. talk to me, if we will, as we close out now about Saturday's program a little bit more specifically.
Yeah, so part of our evolution as Orilla, this kind of touches onto what you were saying earlier of like, yes, there was a point when we started playing that we're trying to kind of do too much. I think when we first started, we're like, okay, we need to make sure that we have enough variety. We need to make sure. And then, you know, we were doing like some...
like kind of not trusting. I feel like we were not trusting that just the two of us with a voice and a bass, we could do something that would fill the space that we would be proud of. And what we are discovering lately is that it's exactly the opposite, that we actually thrive when it's in simplicity, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so kind of part of the evolution is we say, well, part of what got us to play together was a lot of the Spanish-oriented music that we both grew up with.
Hispanic,
I'm sorry. Hispanic, because it includes Spain and Latin America.
Exactly.
We kind of in a certain way went back to basics. You know, we decided to say, well, let's do an all Spanish program doing the music that we just love to play, and let's just do it as authentically as possible. You know, some of the stuff I play just the upright on. Some of the stuff I have a 5-string bass that I can play some chords on. Ona sometimes uses a looper. Sometimes she plays cajon on some stuff.
Oh, the looper. I've seen you do that. That's so cool. I have no idea how those things work, by the way.
Thank you.
Are there foot pedals? Is that that's how you do it?
I do it with a hand. I can't control with my feet
you
as
can't
well.
Control
I can control
your
with
feet.
A hand. I can't. But I can't be as precise as I can be with my hand. And rhythmic precision is important with a looper.
Yeah, so. that's the first thing I never understood. When I see those guitar players going out there playing the bass line.
It's impressive,
the rhythm,
huh?
The bass line stuff. And he's doing it all with his feet. I'm going, how does he get it right on the beat? How does he do that? Doesn't the machine do that for you? Or
I mean, machines definitely help lately. The first ones were really difficult to manage, but lately they have improved a lot, and they definitely help. The most important thing is to set a very clear beat, the first layer of the loop you record,
right.
And then the machine will just help you.
Oh, I got it now. I can go do it.
Let's do it.
So Saturday night, 7 o'clock. No guest musicians. It's just the two. And we say Orilla.
Orilla.
With the Y on the end. Okay. Okay. So so nice to talk to Ona Kay and Alejandro Areñas. What's next for La Lucha before we leave?
For La Lucha, we're actually in the process of, we're going to go to Franklin, Tennessee, right outside Nashville, and we're going to do a new record in mid-June. So we just played at the New Tampa Performing Arts Center.
Which is a wonderful venue. Yeah.
And we showcased some of the music that we're gonna record. It's our adult album, so to speak.
That's scary.
We've decided, I think we looked in the mirror, we're like, you know, we're getting older now. Let's get serious.
Didn't you record recorded in North Carolina perhaps, or was it in Tennessee?
In Tennessee as well, but we did something with the crew with Brian Hughes.
James. I forgot you were in that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But that's our most immediate thing, and we actually just released a project that's been going on for like 4 years that includes Ona on some of the stuff. It's an '80s. It's called La Lucha Plays the '80s, and we did all live. different venues. We did some Studio 620. We did some stuff at the Palladium. And it's basically arrangements of 80 songs. And we feature different guest artists on all of the songs. So Ona is on Sledgehammer, rocking the suit and the guitar and the vocoder. You're also on Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Mm-hmm. And she was part of background vocalist and keyboardist on Nothing Compares to You, which features Jamie Perlow, or Jamie, and Raspberry Beret, the Prince song, and Like a Prayer, which is going to be released. The video is going to be released this Friday.
This sounds fascinating. Yeah. Jamie Perlow, I haven't heard about her in a while. How's she doing?
She's doing well. She actually just made a Facebook post this morning that she's going to go back to performing. She had been laying low. So
that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Yes. She's terrific. Alejandra Ona, thank you so much. We will see you Saturday night, 7 p.m. at the Studio 620. I was going to say gracias and adios. I don't know if that's
good. Yeah,
yes. If that fits, but
perfect.
There we go.
Perfecto.
Thanks, guys.
Gracias a ti.
Gracias.